day to remember those who were willing to risk their lives to that we might live in peace and freedom. And it's a time to think about those who were willing to make that sacrifice, and particularly those who made the ultimate sacrifice, who in a sense followed Jesus to lay down their lives for others. So it's good, I think, at this time to think about those who have had service in the military. I personally have never been military, I've never been in the armed forces, but I did actually work for many years with members of the armed forces before I was ordained. And I think I got to know some of them quite well and was always impressed by certain qualities in them. I know people who are pacifists sometimes kind of push down the military, trying to say to us that if there weren't any armies, then we wouldn't have any wars. And that's probably true, but it's a rather unlikely scenario in our present world. And certainly the Bible does not put down at all those who enter military service. I chose these two readings. I'm sorry they're not from the lectionary, but they're readings about two military officers. And both of them are really commended in the writings in Luke in both cases, and it's worth, I think, just having a look at them and looking at what it means to be in the army in military service and what they can teach us, because we are not in a vacuum spiritually speaking, are we? The Bible is quite clear that there are forces of evil in the spiritual world. In the book of Ephesians, it says, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." I know we don't talk about the devil and his forces very much, and it's probably the right thing to do, but we shouldn't forget that they're there, that God does not operate in a vacuum. And we're not operating in one. We are in some kind of cosmic battle, some cosmic war. We know the outcome of that war. We know that Jesus achieved the ultimate victory when he died on the cross. We're kind of in that period from D-Day to the end of the Second World War when the outcome was clear, but it was still many battles still to fight. So it's worth looking at these, particularly these two junior officers in the Roman army that we read about in the book of Acts and in the Gospels. The first one, well, it's actually, because they're actually in the opposite order to which we read them, obviously the Gospel account comes first. We don't know the name of that particular centurion, but we do know that Jesus really patted him on the back, really commended him. He said, Jesus, didn't he say, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." And it's worth looking at this man to see what Jesus found so admirable about him. He's a man who's willing to ask for help when he needs it. He's not an arrogant man. He has real humility, doesn't he? In not even coming before Jesus, but actually sending friends to speak to him. And as we know too, not feeling worthy for Jesus to actually even come to his house. So there's a kind of humility about this man. But the real thing that's important about him is his faith, that he's willing to actually ask Jesus to heal his man, his servant, even though he knows that, even if Jesus doesn't physically come to his house. Jesus, he said to Jesus, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and the slave does it." That's really interesting, isn't it? He sees an analogy between himself and Jesus, that they're both men under authority, that they're both willing to actually obey the orders that they get from their superiors. Obviously, in the case of the centurion, those above him in the Roman army. And in Jesus' case, obviously, he's talking about the orders that Jesus gets from the Father. And he sees, too, that Jesus is obedient to what the Father says to him. And that tells us something, doesn't it? That we need to not only listen out for what God calls us to do, but be willing to actually step out in faith and do what we hear. And that's why he knows that Jesus does have the power to bring healing to his servant. That Jesus is willing to be obedient to what he hears from his Father. And this is why Jesus is so excited, really, when he realizes this man's faith. A man who's not a Jew, a man who's not part of the community of faith at this stage, but someone who does have genuine, real faith in all that Jesus can do for him. And the second officer that we see here is this man, Cornelius, who's, as we hear, a centurion in the town of, he's not in Caesarea, is he? He's in one of the towns further north up in Galilee. And we see here, we read about his prayers, his real faith in God. This man really is a believer. He was a devout, he says he was a devout man who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed constantly to God. So this is not your typical image of a junior officer in the Roman army. He's not one of your hard-drinking, swearing men, but someone who has a real faith and a real willingness to exercise his faith in the way he lives. And he's someone also who's willing to actually hear God speaking to him. So he has this vision of an angel coming to tell him to send off for Peter. And you know what happened then is Peter was brought to the house of Cornelius. Peter spoke to all the people there, and the Holy Spirit fell on them just as he had done on the people in Jerusalem. This is kind of what's called the Gentile Pentecost. So the gospel started to go out into all the world at the house of Cornelius. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God chose a man like this, a man that was probably really hated by the Jews in general, the idea of having an occupation force, and this man was representative of it. But this is the man that God used to actually bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And we see he's a man of humility, and he's a man of willingness to engage with God. Now, as I say, we are in a war with the forces of evil. The picture that the Bible draws from the Roman army is actually really helpful as we consider the way we should live. We do need that same kind of self-discipline that comes from military service. We do need that willingness to come under the authority of our Heavenly Father and be willing to step out in obedience and faith. We do need that humility that we find in these men, them, and they realize that they are part of something much bigger than themselves, and that only by being part of that can they possibly have any real effect on the earth. But seeing how God actually used these men, I think should give us heart to be willing to actually step out in faith to follow them. So we can honor, I believe, today all those who've been called to serve in the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. My grandfather was gassed in World War I, and we think he probably died early because of that. Bosie's gone down to Reading, where her parents are buried today, because they were both in the British Army. They were Polish refugees, but they joined the British Army towards the end of the Second World War, and they were both fighting at Monte Cassino in Italy. Her father was a captain, and he was awarded the Military Cross. And so Bosie and her brother have gone down to their grave in Reading today. So I think all of us have at least a second-hand experience of what it means to have served their country. And I think we can all take heart, and we can all follow what we have received from those that have served in the armed services. So let me just finish with some words from 2 Timothy, where Paul writes to his friend Timothy, using the picture of being a soldier. He says to Timothy, he writes to Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." So let's all serve our Lord Jesus, the one who enlisted us to serve in his army. Amen.